I want to call your attention today back to the verse that we were in yesterday. I just couldn't get through it. I don't do that all the time, but I just couldn't get through it. And there's just so much that needs to be said about it. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2 in 1 Peter. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. Now, I was talking about that verse on the program yesterday, that these who were scattered abroad, these who were persecuted for Jesus' sake, for their testimony for Christ, even though they had been mistreated, they were not to hate and despise and have malice and guile and use hypocritical means and envies and evil speakings against those that persecuted them. And in your day and mine, we do that sometimes. Sometimes we put on great campaigns to try to destroy somebody who has mistreated the church. Now, listen, folks, we can expect to be mistreated. Jesus was mistreated. And I hope you were listening yesterday. Jesus gives us the answer. He said, if they smite you on one cheek, you turn the other cheek. And that's exactly what it means. You can't take that out of the Bible. You can't take that out of the Bible. You can't make any excuse for forming organizations to fight those who fight the church. Now, thank God here in America, and I said this yesterday, that we do have constitutional rights, and we ought to ask for them, and we ought to go according to the Constitution to gain those rights. And there's nothing wrong, and we thank God for the lawyers that have dedicated themselves to helping the churches. But we must not hold malice in our heart. Malice and envy and hatred will kill you. It won't hurt the other person. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy your fellowship with God. Now, so that much is clear. Now, I made an application. I say, if those people were not supposed to hate and hold malice and speak evil against sinners, ungodly, atheist people who persecuted them, all the more you and I, as Christians in local churches, ought not to hate and hold malice and envy and speak evil of those in the church who mistreat us. Now, we may be mistreated because we're right. We may be mistreated because we're wrong. We may be mistreated because we're just not liked, or because we don't have a personality, or because we don't say and do things like somebody else in the church, and then we get persecuted for it. It happens all the time. It's one of the biggest things that's hurting our churches today. But that doesn't give you a right to hate these people. That doesn't give you a right to try to destroy that church. And we've got people all over America today trying to destroy good Bible-believing fundamental churches because when they made a suggestion, their suggestion wasn't carried out. And when somebody didn't like their suggestion, they walked over to them and they said, why, you're a dumb bunny or something of that nature to try to think that something like that would work. And they get insulted and they leave and go off, get on the telephone and tell the whole country and call every member of the church and tell them how they've been mistreated like a little bitty baby crying on somebody's shoulder when they get the red licked off their candy. Now, let me tell you, Christians, why don't we start acting like Christians? Why don't we start acting like Christians? Oh, I wish I could get to one church. I have been to a few. I wish I could get to one church where people in that church who are saved and are Christians would act like Christians. I believe we could turn the community upside down for God. All right, as newborn babes, let me hurry on. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, these are admonitions that Peter is giving to those who have been persecuted and those who are down, those who are discouraged, those who are disappointed. He says, as newborn babes. Now, you haven't been saved very long, and you're persecuted. All you've done is taken a stand and said you're a Christian, and you're strong enough to do that. But you're still just a newborn baby in Christ, as newborn babes, and just as your physical birth, you have to grow up. Of course, some of you never have. I meet people all the time. 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. I've met them 60 and 70 years old, never did grow up. But anyway, he says, as newborn babes in your spiritual life, you ought to grow up. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, where do you get your growth? You get it from the word of God. Now, I'm going to ruffle some of your fellas' feathers today, but you don't get spiritual growth by running off to every seminar that pops up in the country and every high promotional organization somewhere or highly charismatic individual or some great promotional kind of stunt to get you to be a better Christian. It will not help you. It might for a moment, it might encourage you for the moments that you're there, but because it is not based on the true Word of God. They use a little scripture here and there and call it Christian, but it's primarily based upon the philosophy of man and upon the get-ahead philosophy of man and the power of positive thinking and all kinds of other theories. It's not based on the Word of God. If you want to grow if you want to grow in grace and you want to grow up and quit being a baby, then you look at the Word of God and you study it and you read it for yourself. Read the Word of God, study the Word of God, and get the milk of the Word of God. If you can't understand the meat, just keep drinking milk that you find there until you move into a place where you can receive the meat of the Word of God. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, you've tasted Him. You got saved. And my, how gracious it was for you to turn from an old ungodly sinner to a dear saint of God. And it was so gracious. And I tell you, it's so precious to be a born-again child of God. You know, if you'll just think about it a moment, if you're right with God, and what you are doing is right with God, you don't have to answer to anybody but God. And it makes no difference what... Now, I'm talking about in the sense of you're doing what's right. Now, you do have to come under the authority of the church, the authority of the pastor. You're under the authority of God and the Holy Spirit. But I'm talking about when you do what's right, you don't have to hang your head. You don't have to create a lot of malice and hatred against somebody because they don't agree with you if you know you're doing what's right. Smile, thank God, and pray for them and move on and enjoy the milk until you can enjoy the meat.